so I'm going to, I've already decided that I wish I could have rearranged some of my slides, so I'm going to skip through a few of them, but you do have some of these as handouts, and as well as the competencies are in the handout with the abstract. I do need to disclose that I also own a business as well as wearing my faculty hat, which I'm wearing today. And I'm going to hop through these guys to get actually to the visual, which is, I think, a little easier. Oregon Consortium of Nursing Education has been around for just over 10 years, and one of the things that they attempted to do and have done very well successfully is create that bridge between the ADN programs up through the baccalaureate program, and they did this by creating a series of competencies. There are 10 competencies, 38 dimensions, and 62 benchmarks that are leveled out at 1, 2, and 3. They should be at level 2 at the ADN graduation and level 3 in the baccalaureate program. And you've got a nice sample here of one of those dimensions within the leadership competency. And then this is kind of, I know you can't see that, but this is just a big, so that you can see that there are several of the competencies that have quite a few dimensions in them for the students to be able to go through. And then a little bit of a close-up, I'll tell you, we are teaching in an RN program, our NTBS program. It's 100% online, which means wonderful qualitative data to be able to mine. And we looked at specifically three courses that use this OCNE competency at the level 3 benchmark. We wanted to just kind of see, does it tell us anything? There hasn't been a lot of research in this particular component of the program. And we looked at the first course, which is 427, which is kind of their first course within the RN-to-BS program. And I want to emphasize again, we are working with RNs. They're practicing, and by the time we get them, a lot of them have been practicing at least 6 months, and some of them many, many years, coming back for their baccalaureate. And then they go through their population nursing course, which is 9 credits, and the part that I teach is 6 credits of their clinical at a clinical site. And then they have their third course, which is their final clinical, which is also a 6-credit course with 120 clinical hours. And you can see that the competencies, I mean, they kind of mirror the Quad Council competencies with much of the same things we all work on. We looked at discussion groups within the online, and we looked at five groups all together. And what I want you to understand is in these discussion groups, regardless, our students are all over the state. And in the discussion group, they talk to each other. So they're the teachers as much as I'm really more the guide, okay? Of course, like I said, we qualitatively analyze this using content analysis and talking amongst ourselves to kind of get the ideas down. And no surprise, we're female and we're white. Although we do have a fairly nice diversity, which I'm kind of tickled with when we were able to look at that across the courses. So in total, we looked at about 45 students in the three courses. And the very beginning course, we looked at actually the bookend courses, the beginning course and the final practicum. We asked them specifically, what's the competency that you feel is your strongest, and what's the competency you feel is your weakest? Which does not mean that we really got the full broad spectrum of where they were, and sadly, we didn't get down to more the benchmark. In the population course, we actually gave them the template of the benchmarks and said, okay, fill this out related to your clinical site. First time we got that back, they were totally clueless about non-acute care settings, since most of them are in acute care settings. And they, one person said, well, I did no therapeutic communication whatsoever because I was, I had no direct patient care. And this person was in a public health nursing clinic. So we said, oh, okay, we need to help translate this for them. So from then on, the assignment was do this with a preceptor so that you have that understanding. So here's one thing that we pulled out of one of the first courses where the student identified that across this conversation of strengths and challenges, three of the peers identified that the broader healthcare challenge, which talks about everything outside of acute care for the most part, and leadership seem to be the areas where all of us are challenged. This student tied it to the idea of being a new nurse and just really needing to get competent at the basics. The next two slides, what I'm doing is just pulling out the raw numbers of what was challenging, what was a strength. And there was a lot of discussion which suggests that when we code for a more subtler thing, we'll pick up a lot more strengths and challenges from that. But they kind of felt like been there, done that with ethics. They got that covered. But you'll notice that leadership and the broader healthcare system, which is where, of course, population really resides, huge challenge for all of them. And again, not a huge surprise. The very first course, they're feeling a little challenged about evidence, and the last course, they're feeling pretty strong. In the strengths, it's pretty much just the mirror image. What was a little surprising, though, is by the end of their final curriculum, they don't have leadership or healthcare as a strength either. But we saw a lot of stuff in between that says that they were getting that, which is what we'll talk about. The other thing was that in doing this process throughout the curriculum, one student was able to comment, you know, I've grown a lot more than I thought I had, which, yeah, that's part of the goal. So very briefly, the clinical sites that we looked at for these groups were, of course, quite diverse. But what I'll talk about is there were three clinics. One was public health, two were free clinics. And then there was another person who was situated in a healthcare system that has kind of the acute care side as well as a kind of a population side. And another student in Oregon, of course, just like everywhere, we had a huge influx of new healthcare enrollees. And one student was looking at that and created a really cool online kind of audiovisual brochure, if you will. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. So looking at a few of these competencies as we're exploring this, even though they felt pretty strong in ethics as a whole, they really got into and were able to drill down into social justice by being at some of these different places. In this case, this particular student identified that, woohoo, you know, they have this really unique population, and unless we have free clinics like this, there really is nowhere else for these people to go to get their health care. Okay? In the concept of reflection, self-analysis, self-renewal, and the students then looked at the staff as population, as a population. They got a lovely insight into how you can work with each other, and in this case, when there had been a really difficult patient experience, another staff member said, hey, let me take the next case for you so you can just get some chill time. And she said, never saw this whatsoever in acute care. Okay. Intentional learning, yay, they learned something in the curriculum. In this case, it was demonstrated in a couple of different ways. One, that really cool audio kind of brochure, the tool she used was VideoScribe, and so that was one type of intentional learning, was having to go and figure out this particular tool. And then the second was in another observational situation, they noticed how in population we really have to stay up with the evidence to stay up with what's going on for our populations. So they saw intentional learning in real time. So the two things that I wanted to go into a little more detail on were the leadership and the broader healthcare system. So in the first one, with the barriers to leadership, again, they really speak to both at the first course as well as the last course, a real discomfort with the title of being leader. Some of them tie it to the fact that they're new nurse, and it's kind of like, I don't feel like I've earned my stripes to call myself a leader, which is kind of sad because we have leadership courses and talk about it a lot. The other problem is that there's a real focus on delegation and supervision as a whole, and they feel in their work settings there's a real lack of opportunity for leadership. And so one area that they were able to call out, yes, I am a leader, is with patients as a patient advocate. But the deeper level three benchmarks include things like change management. They weren't able to make that connection. And yet, in looking at their clinical logs and looking at their descriptions of elements that fit underneath these benchmarks, one student called it an amazing change management strategy where they collected data because, again, this one clinic, public health clinic, had 4,000 enrollees with the new Medicaid. And so they tracked patients from walking in the door all the way through the system until walking out the door because they needed to figure out strategies within the clinic to get smoother with their patient care. And the management loved the entire presentation, stimulated awesome conversation, and some really significant changes for the agency. In the competency of collaborating with a larger healthcare team, again, no surprise, it takes a village to run a free clinic, and they were able to witness that and have a really good experience and understanding of what that looks like outside of an acute care setting. And then with the other one on that broader healthcare system, again, new nurse comes back to it, and so that raises a question in our minds of what levels of these benchmarks can they truly achieve right at graduation. Again, lack of exposure. It's while I had some experience in my population course, where they got the experience there, they have very little exposure at work. And where they'd really want to focus then on things like resource management and some policy decision making, which is, again, not a huge surprise. The other barriers then related to this were on that they have a focus on direct patient care. And sadly, that means they don't have time to do the above and beyond for their patients, which, again, we're aware of, but it's always interesting for them to call out. They're also able to demonstrate their knowledge by what they're writing down. They get it at the benchmark, the networks, the regulating issues, the improving access to healthcare. So, again, they're seeing it, but they're not necessarily connecting some of the pieces. And then we're seeing for them that in their clinical logs and in their experiences and their discussions that they're getting it. In this case, again, a different site where huge influx of new enrollees, they called patients that were eligible for the new program and found out that 69 did have providers, 72 did not have providers, and yet they still needed to have access to this free clinic because they didn't have access to their providers. And so, again, they had this big aha moment that it's not just about enrollment. The other thing another student picked up was that not just the acute care interaction, but with every interaction, that's how we make a change in our patients' lives. And so this person was able to see that it really does take all of the providers across the entire system in order to make a difference in people's care and the cost for health care. Again, yay, they got the whole concept of evidence. The very first class, they're feeling really challenged, and they find they focus more on protocols and fundamental knowledge of nursing practice. And then towards the end, they're really getting it. They figured out that, yes, I know how to seek out evidence and to make use of it in my nursing practice, and you know, something that will stay with them forever. The last student, the one, again, who did the audio brochure, was so cool. She felt extraordinarily confident that she accessed the evidence that created a low literacy tool and really knew she was in that box. Okay. So what are the benefits of having a population clinical? Well, you heard a whole bunch of them. But in this case, taking it back to their acute care practice, several of the students called out the idea that even though their experiences were really limited, with the exception of a population clinical, they found that it by having it, they're going to be able to create shifts in the way they care for their patients and be a little bit more holistic. Another big aha for those who've been nurses for quite a while, when they see the other side of the system, the population system, they can see that, again, there's a spectrum of care for, in this case, a diabetic patient. I mean, for all of us, this is not a surprise, but for them, this is like this light bulb moment experience for them. Another big fun thing was that their second clinical, where in the past they've always focused on acute care concepts, okay, put me in the ICU, put me somewhere else because I want this experience because it's to build my resume. Now, higher percentages of them are asking to either be continued in their community clinical site, or they go to a different community site, but they're still asking for that community clinical site. So that's a really big aha for us. So, the big bonus of this in both courses now is that they really are seeing that holistic connection, and they're starting to see that by being able to access resources, by being able to do these different things, I'm going to help reduce that recidivism back into the hospital. So they're seeing the connections, they're connecting the dots, they just don't necessarily feel like they have the power in their current jobs to do so. And I thought, I'll try to give you a minute to read this one, it's kind of cool. In this case, the student said that when I interviewed this nurse about what's the difference between school and real life, said what was surprising to me was she didn't mention all the shortcuts or the technical skills and techniques, and stated that textbooks don't account for patients' lives. Instead, care plans, interventions are great in theory, but if you have a patient who is worried about their basic human needs like food, water, and or safety, they are not going to give a crap about their medication compliance or whatever we may think should be important to them. They have all come from different backgrounds with different problems and different traumas. We cannot fit them into a cookie-cutter treatment plan because they are all so different. Yay! So the big limitations to our particular study was that, you know, it's small, only 45 students across the three courses, and it wasn't a direct cohort to look kind of a student from beginning to end. And we need to help them drill down to those level three benchmarks a little bit better. Basically, population nursing course really strengthened their understanding of several of the competencies, broadened their understanding, and recognizing that maybe some of these aren't really easily achieved through that final year, that final class. And not all of them really recognize that they're doing this stuff. We have to help call that out for them. And then basically by experiencing population, they can take it back to their acute care nursing roles and really see that bigger construct. And then our lesson was we need to be a little clearer about calling out those elements for them so that they really can make those connections and be able to call out for themselves, I am a leader, and I can make a difference in the broader healthcare system. Thank you.